Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, legit batters! We don't really do ads, but if you feel the need to support our dumb show, you can subscribe on Rockfin for all of our shows, plus bonus member shows, or on Patreon for audio versions. Oh my god, this sounds so scripted. It's terrible.
No, read it like that the whole time.
No, I can't.
Yes, do it.
Okay, or click on the affiliate link in the notes to support awesome companies. I don't know who wrote these notes. Oh, yeah, it's me. If you don't feel like sending bullshit fiat currency to us, just share the show with a friend. Or give us a rating or review. You know, standard podcast shit.
Actually, that could be said without the radio voice.
Oh. Well, maybe I'll put in a fart noise. But we also accept sweet nothings in the form of DMs or emails. Seriously.
That's actually more appreciated. We don't need your money. We just want loves.
We don't need your money. It'd be cool. But, I mean, if you don't want to buy us a beer, that's fine. You can just say, hey, you guys are awesome. Or say, you guys suck. Those are funny, too.
No, it's like hanging out. When you go out and hang out with your friends at a show, just say you're at a concert, would you be more excited that they were there and that you got to spend time with them or if they bought you a beer? I guess it would depend on your alcohol dependency levels, but
yeah,
we don't have that. We are just excited to be hanging out with you guys. That's it.
Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show and support however you fucking want. Thank you.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Testing.
Testing?
Testing.
Testies.
Testies.
Testies. 1, 2, 3.
You put him in there.
I don't know shit about fuck.
I love Leia.
I like sucking.
Ow!
Legit Bat Podcast.
Boner.
Oh, yeah.
Brayden. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Fuck off.
Oh,
there's that stag talk you talked about.
Whoa, hey, welcome to Legit Bat. I'm Joe, Jen's with me, Ben's over there with the lag, woohoo. I don't have my sound effect pissed.
Pissed.
Pissed, there we go. So, tonight, oh, before we start, I guess, what was I going to cover in the beginning? I fucking forgot. Oh, welcome to all the new Telegram members. If anybody wants to join the Telegram, the link is in the notes. We have almost 100 people in there, and it's always popping off if you're into that. I would turn your notifications off. But otherwise, it's a good time in there. Always talking shit with Corey and Jesus and Zach and Chance. And Chance is a meme god. There's your shout out, Chance. He's always dropping dankest of memes. And what else? More ado? I think that's all the ado. So tonight we have Loomis from Chant It Down. Is there a second title to your show? Because I looked it up on iTunes and it seems like there's two titles.
No, just Chant It Down Radio.
Okay, Chant It Down Radio.
Yeah, I started this a long time ago before probably people called it podcast. So I called it radio back then, but it's the same thing, right? Yeah.
Cool. Let us introduce yourself, give us your plugs, and let everyone know what you do over at your show.
All right. Well, my name is Loomis. I do Chant It Down Radio, a podcast I've been doing since early 2013, and I'm out of Hawaii. This is a show about the truth and everything in between. I've covered everything you can think of, had a lot of guests on, this is the year I'm networking, so I'm glad to meet people like you guys and just kind of expand out there and meet new people and just exchange information.
Awesome. Well, you seem to be an OG in the game, so how did you get started with the whole what they call the truther movement, which I'm not a huge fan of, but everyone knows right. What I'm talking about if I say that.
Well, it's a long story. I was in a house in 1999 where there was a revolving door, and I was too broke to pay for the other room after a while, so I slept on the couch. And so one of my roommates was an older man, like 45 or 50, and what he did is he was a kind of an insider in the USDA, and he broke down how the whole world worked to me. This is in 1999, and pretty much set me on fire on everything about, you know, give me lots of good books to read. He told me they were going to install Bush at W. Bush in 2000, and that something big was going to happen when he got in. And so when, sorry about the helicopters outside. So when he got in, and then 9/11 happened a little bit later, that was that big thing. So that set me on fire. And I guess you could say that I became one of those truther people, but I don't know what you want to call it. It's just, I wanted to get out the message for the truth, and I've been doing it ever since. Although I didn't start my radio show in 2013, I probably could have started it 5-6 years earlier, but I have kids and I was raising them, doing the regular old life. So that's kind of how, that's a quick story of a very long, quick version of a very long version of story there.
Nice. So you said the insider information with the geoengineering. So what, tell us more about that.
Well, okay. So that's another, so if I tell this story all real quick, it kind of sounds almost unbelievable, but so this was a separate person that I met, talking about geoengineering. But the reason why I think I met all these people, at least these two different individuals, is because I lived through synchronicity in my life. So I didn't always have jobs, and I just kind of got in situations that normal 8-to-5 Monday through Friday people don't get into. And I think that's how I met the first insider. The second insider I met was in 2008, and I have, she was saying, hey, that guy over there I've been talking to, he knows all about chemtrails. You're into chemtrails, right? And I was like, well, yeah, and so he's like, you should talk to him. I'm like, okay. So I went over to this guy's house thinking that, well, I kind of know enough that I can tell him. Turns out I needed to go back to his house and take notes, because this guy was actually the son of a CIA scientist, and he had a whole lot of information on what they're doing above our heads. I can get into it in a little bit. It's long, a lot of stuff, but it was mind-blowing to the point where after 2008, I realized that this information was coming to me rather than me, and I wasn't seeking it. So I figured out that my job must be to get this information out. And if I didn't, I think I would probably be living my life in vain. So I decided to, and start doing a lot of different activism, met a lot of people in the earlier truth community. Some friends like Bob Tuscan. You might know Bob Tuscan. Shout out to him. Long time ago, he had a radio show. So this is like, 2011, right? That's what spurred me to do my podcast in 2013. But, nice. How did you guys get started? I want to know your guys' story as well, because Legit Bat is a cool name. Yeah. I rolled a joint the other night that was in the shape of a nice legit bat.
Well, we started out just wanting to have kind of we always used to just talk shit. What? Whoa. Oh, Ben's lag, right? No, we started out just wanting to have fun conversations, and we do it so often that I'm like, why don't we have microphones out here? We should just post up a microphone out there and just record this and send it out. Ended up being a lot more involved than that, but that's basically how we started. And the legit bad is a dick joke, a dad dick joke, to be specific. Yeah. Oh,
nice. Well, yeah, I noticed you had a slogan about telling the truth every dick, one dick joke at a time. I'm probably butchering it, but yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty close enough. But that's why, that's exactly why I changed our whatever you call it, bio to that. Because when we were talking about the truther thing, I'm always telling people we're not teaching the truth or trying to tell people what is truth. We ourselves are searching for whatever the fuck truth is. And that ends up being not so much looking for truth as much as weeding out all the false and then coming up with something resembling truth. And it changes all the time. That's why I can't stand these people that get up and say, this is the way things are, and I know what's going on. And maybe, probably not, though.
Probably not, though. And probably they know some things, and the rest is their ego going into it. Because I've seen so many, the people that I respect in this community that have done their hard work are people that have actually changed their opinions on things over the years, because they've realized maybe they were wrong and they admitted it. And those are the people that I respect the most, because they are still learning. You can't stop learning.
Yeah. And if you're wrong, that's fine. Everybody's wrong a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys have been doing how long you've been doing your podcast?
Coming up on 2 years.
Two years
in August, yeah.
Nice. And it's been going pretty good. You guys are mostly live streaming the whole time?
Well, yeah, so it started out as just audio. And then we got on Rockfin, and I'm like, well, I got to figure out this video shit. So we started just doing our regular show, but instead of uploading a video, we just live stream it and then release the audio afterwards. And it seems to be working out. I mean, I haven't figured out enough now, or I'm probably not going to change it anytime soon. Do you do any video stuff?
No, I'm working on it. I'm kind of an idiot with, I'm not very tech savvy, but I'm learning OBS. So I'm coming up on my 200th episode pretty soon. So I figured after that, I'm going to start doing all the live streams. But I've just been kind of recording, uploading, having guests on, that kind of stuff for many years. And that kind of worked into my busy schedule because I work a full-time job. But the live stream thing, I think, is important. And I just sort of a latecomer to it. Like everything in Hawaii, we're always late out here.
Well, it just kind of gives the listeners more options, you know, like if they want to jump in the live stream and talk shit in the chat, they can do that. Like Corey and Thomas and Andrew's in there, too. It gives them options where they can either join the live chat and the live show, or they can watch the video later. And sometimes the video is actually important to watch because we'll have people that put things up on screen, diagrams and pictures and all that shit.
But yeah, then visuals.
The most people listen to the audio because that's free and it's easy and you can do it while you're at work. So just options, you know?
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. I think my vision of podcasts for so long is it's that thing you listen to while you're driving on a long drive home or cleaning the house or something. But I realize there's a lot of reasons why you'd want to have visuals, especially to have slides and pictures and so people can see what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Not everyone has time to watch the live stream. So
no.
It's cool when they do, though. It's fun to see people in the chat. But so tell me more about, since you have 200 episodes, you have quite a jump on us. We do two or three shows a week, so we're actually getting close to 200, I think. But what was your favorite or the most memorable interview or topic or guest you've had on?
I don't know if I have a favorite. That's a hard answer, but a show that was really successful with my listening audience was I had on a discussion about 5G. This was 2018, I think, 2017, with Max Egan, Ilana Freeland, and Matt Landman. You probably know Matt Landman, at least. So I had all three of them on, and we were discussing things way ahead of time of what 5G might be like and what it's going to do to people. And well, now it's here. But I thought that was a pretty amazing episode. And the fact that I got all these really cool opinions of people and their research of what they think is going on. At the time, I felt like these were the number one people to go to people on that subject. So that one was really cool. I remember that. But I don't like to just cover the gloom and doom. I like to give empowering stuff too. And I don't put enough humor in, and that's why I like you guys. I hear a lot of humor. Humor is so important, and I feel like I need to be funnier, but it's just me, you know. And sometimes if I'm not in a funny mood, I'm talking about something serious. It's kind of like, you know, it's hard for me to make jokes, but yeah, I think there's a nice blend. What you guys do, from what I've heard, is you guys put a lot of humor in there and it's easy listening, yet people are digesting truth bits.
Yeah, it's, we think we're funny, so that's all that matters. It's our hobby, so I make myself laugh. That's all I need to do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Matt Landman on a couple times. He's always interesting because he can talk circles around all kinds of stuff, not just the chemtrails and the Frankenstein shit, but he can talk about everything. But the 5G thing, I don't know if that seems to have kind of fizzled. I still hear people talk about it, but I think it's because it got turned on, and as far as we know, nothing really changed. Maybe it did in the jabbed people, we don't know, but I don't see any different. I still don't have 5G. My phone's like 2.5 years old at this point. After COVID, I'm like, I'm not getting a new phone. They're just going to do the contact tracing and all that shit.
Still floating all around us everywhere, though, yeah. So it doesn't really matter. And I think it will be slow effects. I don't think it will be like a snap your fingers, 5G turns on, people start dropping. It's going to be very slow over time to where the effects might not be known until we're dead already. It'll be up for our kids to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about it, too, is I don't think a lot of these towers are turned on. This is just my feeling when I go by them. I mean, maybe I'm just imagining they're not on. But the thing that I did notice is during the 2020 lockdown, at least here, and I think a lot of other places, too, they certainly put a lot of towers up. And the thing that we do have to think about is it was used by the military as an active denial system, and it could be used to keep people in certain quadrants of the city, you could say, as they keep you within, because if it's supposed to burn your skin if it's the millimeter wave is turned on, and you wouldn't want to go beyond that boundary. So I'm seeing more and more going up. Hopefully that's not the case, but if shit really went down and they really wanted to do that, I wouldn't put it past them, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, who knows what the long-term effects are? I think that's most people's problem with it is, like Jen said, it's probably not going to be this instant, oh, people are dropping now. Probably is going to be more of a long-term slow cook type of thing.
Yeah.
We're in a giant fucking crock pot. That's what it is. And I would think if there's really that graphene and other stuff in the jabby jab, that can't be good in conjunction with the 5G stuff. And we'll just wait and see what happens. You know, if people start peeling from the inside out, I mean, we'll know something's up. But Ben, what do you think about 5G? Because I haven't heard you talk much about what you think about the 5G and EMF in general.
Well, I mean, part of it is the journey that we've been on in this podcast. The idea of energy was something I vehemently denied until about May of last year. And there was the one incident that really put that in perspective for me. So naturally, then the idea of EMF and interpersonal energies, that's obviously been what I've been more on a kick of, doing things like this and, you know, all the gay shit. But when it comes to the 5G towers, that's a crystal, by the way. I got another one right here that I use. One's for physical ailments, one's for sleep, mind ailments. I have a lot of those.
You need more of those.
Not the physical. So I need like 8 of them around my neck and balls all the time. The 5G thing is somewhat of a, I can't tell. And this is the shitty part about being in the rabbit hole, is that I can't tell if the data that has come out on them is speculation or factual. And then at the end of the day, whether or not it's quote unquote factual, do you actually believe whether or not those statistics are true? I'm in the middle on all of it. So I definitely would never put it past, you know, the powers that be to do something like that, where with the, I guess you could say, conspiracy theory around 5G. Obviously, I know Matt Landman has promoted the 5G phone pocket protectors so that it doesn't emit the issues. There has been, in my opinion, a little too many coincidences, kind of like with the jab and the paralysis and things that people saw, that I definitely think that something is going on with it. I myself haven't, same boat as you, Joe. I haven't upgraded my phone 4G. I've had it for 2.5 years, haven't upgraded it yet for that reason. Because much like anything else in technology, at some point it's going to get to, if you upgrade, whether it be a fucking flip phone or not, it's going to be 5G. And pretty soon you're not going to be able to get one. And then slowly they're going to weed it out to where now the 4G towers no longer are available to work. So then you'll be forced to upgrade. And that part to me is, it holds more weight than the stories. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. But that to me, I mean, you already see that with technology where they start to phase out older technology. So that part is kind of a given. It's market. That's how that works. But at the same time, that understanding of the fact that that's how market works makes people more susceptible to rationalize it and justify going ahead and upgrading to it, because they're used to this fast market phase out of the previous generation. So specifically, I don't know. I don't know if or that I believe something is going on with the 5G. I think that there's too many coincidences to say no. But I also don't think that there's enough data out there to really say this is what it does. My opinion.
Right. And there's other things too. It's not just the 5G. We keep our phones right by our balls all day. I mean, dudes do for the most part. My phone's in my pocket all day. Not only that, but I have a cellular device on my hip for my work. So I'm double packing the fucking EMF heat. So who knows what that's doing by itself? And we've been doing that for years, since the early 2000s or so, when everybody got a cell phone. We've been carrying around these little EMF emitters. We don't know what the fucking effects of that are, but I think the sperm count in men dropping drastically lately probably has something to do with that. Could be wrong.
Yeah, and the testosterone too.
Well, yeah.
But you know, when I think about a lot of things in the alternative media, I think we always have to be careful. I was saying to somebody the other day, if you had a gauge, kind of like a clock, and you had 9 and 3, 9 being the mainstream media and 3 being totally like paranoid Alex Jones screaming on a microphone, I keep about a 1 somewhere in there, because I don't tend to want to go with all these things that I've heard for so many years. I think I don't really have like a great advantage over anybody, but I've been awake to all this a long time. I've heard a lot of shit that just never happened. And so that's even goes with the jab, you know, that's the stuff that's in there. There's been so much hype about it, and we'll see the long-term effects and all, but it's just that there's been so much that people are putting on all these things, and then they didn't really happen the way they said they would. So that's why I never stay in that super paranoid zone. I just don't think it's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good place to be. The middle is where we all should be. That way we can be aware of information coming in on both sides. Because if you stick to one side of polarity, you're never going to be able to understand any information coming from something that's so opposite from you, because you're so stuck in there holding on to it so tight. So I agree with that. I try to stay at a 12, like perfect 12. It's hard, but it's crazy to say I have to feel this way or I have to feel that way. It doesn't have to be one or the other all the time. And both sides are so easily influenced just because of their unwillingness to bend. So you can take the same exact type of information that you'd say to someone who is terrified of COVID and apply it, just say it in the same way to someone who absolutely thinks COVID's fake, and you could get the same result. You could influence them in the same way. And, you know,
yeah, and especially since you can find whatever you want on the internet, it's easy to back up whatever you think. So keeping between the 9 and the 3, like you said, is hard. And it kind of goes with any perspective you have about anything. You got to kind of keep that 12 o'clock somewhere. You know, you can't be, if you go too far to the right, or I don't even say right or left, to the 9 or the 3, then you get, like Jen said, you get stuck there. And then it's way harder to even pull you back to somewhat something resembling, you know, middle of the road. But I just told somebody the other day, I'm like, being in the middle is probably the hardest thing, because you get attacked from all fucking sides. At least if you're on one team or the other, you got like a tribe, you know, they'll protect you from the other side. Being in the middle, we're just out here on our own taking arrows from all sides. And it's
we need a middle tribe.
It makes it funnier though.
Well, the media has certain techniques for people who are, just to keep the analogy of the 3 and the 9 going, people who are maybe 10s or 2s, you know, in between that, they have a technique to try to pull them back down or try to switch them to the other side as much as they can. You can see it in almost every single news article and on every news outlet on both sides. It's crazy.
Yes, you can. And you know, it sometimes what they do, I feel like they're pushing people purposely to the other side, to a controlled opposition. So that would be a very good example of what's happening right now with Elon Musk. You know, everybody's, oh, he's going to liberate and everybody, and we're going to have free speech. Yet the guy's putting up a worldwide surveillance network, has been wants to put chips in people's brains. So how, you know, that there's a lot of people that I actually have met that are like actually happy he bought Twitter, but like, yeah, but wait a minute, look at this guy. So there's a lot of things that have happened, especially in the last couple of years, that have gravitated people away from one side, but then they went to another without doing much investigation. Basically, everybody needs to be an agnostic thinker and really think for themselves and take everything in. And of course, people don't, and it's hard to for a lot of people in busy schedules, but still, we all need to really think that way, or otherwise we do get pulled to one side or another, one extreme to the other, and then, you know, again, someone else is doing the thinking for us.
Yeah.
And that's why I was going to change the bio of our show to I don't fucking know, because like you said, agnostic. It always comes back to that. Even the Elon Musk thing, we talked to Lindsay Sharman about that Sunday, and there's so much on both sides of that thing, but I don't trust the guy. A, he's a billionaire, and B, he's done like you said, he wants to do a lot of things that everybody in this community is like, no, it's the mark of the beast. Don't take, you know, the most paranoid people are on board with him buying Twitter. I told Ben today, I don't care if he fucking buys Twitter. I don't use it. I also don't drive a Tesla. I couldn't give a shit what he's doing. But if he's going to be the sole person in charge of all that data gathering on Twitter, that's a little weird. But you know, like anything, we're going to see what happens. So I just sit back and watch, smoke a doobie, and just hang out.
Hey, yeah. Great. Did you know, I don't know if you guys know, maybe I'm saying stuff that's already floating around a lot, but Wernher von Braun, the famous guy from NASA, wrote a novel in 1952. And he said that it was a science fiction novel about somebody colonizing Mars. And the person's name was Elon.
Yep.
We just talked about that.
Oh, yeah, you just talked about that. Oh, that's cool. About that.
In real time. Yeah. I was like, there's a dude that wrote this novel, and we Googled it in real time. And I'm like, it was fucking Wernher von Braun. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's this crazy lady. Well, I don't know if she's crazy, but she's in the UFO circle, and her name's Carol Rosen. Did you guys talk about her at all? She said she was like his friend for 4 years, only 4 years, but he was on, she was with him, and his last words were, you know, I'm paraphrasing, I'd have to find it, but basically that we're going to go through a Cold War with Russia. That's going to be fake. That we're going to have terrorists are going to be out, and that's going to be fake. And I feel like I can find it, but the thing he said, is you don't want to weaponize space. And the next thing is going to be asteroids. And then the final thing is going to be the alien card. Basically, they're going to do a fake alien invasion. And he said all of this is not true. And that's what he said on his deathbed, according to this lady, Carol Rosen, who I'm a little suspicious about. But it's interesting.
Yeah, and it's played out pretty much like that. It
follows. It has.
Bluebeam. I mean, that was also, you know, quote, debunked because of the dude that wrote it. I don't remember the whole story, or I can't remember that dude's name, actually. We have to do a whole episode on Bluebeam, but there's so many things that line up with all this stuff we've been hearing. But there we go with the agnostic thinking again. We got to go, who knows? It might be all bullshit, but yeah, I haven't seen an alien yet.
That's all over the news right now. So for my work, I always have to log into, I don't even know what the browser is called. It's something completely different than anything I've ever seen. I have to log in at work, and it always pulls up these random news stories, and almost every single one comes from MSNBC or something, and it's all about asteroid nearly misses Earth, and there's tons of them, or tons and tons and tons of articles. If it's not that, it's about aliens. So one scientist said, one of the articles said, scientist believes that we were created in a lab by a higher intelligence, something like CERN. So something like what CERN's trying to do, creating their own universe or finding the way that our universe was created. They believe that a higher life form did that to us, and that is how we exist. And then I saw another one that said that alien life may have crashed into our ocean in 2016 through an asteroid. That was just the other day. So they're just kind of seeding the news with these little articles, I think, to get ready to unleash the big news. Because this isn't something that is on mainstream media. It's on this random browser, but it's coming from mainstream websites, but it's not on the main page of MSNBC or CNN or anything. Yep. But it's in there.
One thing we're sure of, everything's propaganda. Oh, I was going to ask you what you thought about CERN, since that just fired back up again. Like, goes full balls out speculative conspiracy or anything, or just stick to what you know. Doesn't really matter. We do whatever here. So what do you think about CERN in general? And it just firing up at like twice the power, I think it was. Three, two, maybe like four.
Yeah, they just fired up April.
Did they?
It just collided their first particles the other day, from what we're told.
Yeah, but it'll be full power in June.
Wow. What I think about CERN, I think, well, you know, this is sort of a cliche thing that a lot of people probably talk about, but I kind of do think that Mandela effect really did possibly come because they fired up CERN. I mean, I do think of things could be false memories from the Mandela effect, but I also saw it in... you've probably seen it. It's like Spider-Man animated. My youngest son was watching a while back. Into the Spider-Verse. And yeah. There's a machine in there that messes up all the dimensions, and then all these other Spider-Men come out. But I think they're kind of predictive programming with that. And I honestly kind of think that really that it could be messing up our timeline. I remember when around 2016, I felt like something... This is just me feeling this way, so who knows? But I felt like a switch was hit, and we went into like a different world. And then I felt that again in 2020. But I mean, that's obvious because we really did go into a different world. But there's been times where I felt like, are they fucking with us? Are they doing that? But
100%.
Yeah. But CERN itself, I mean, they say they're going to find the God particle. And, you know, what is the God particle? And they also say that something might come through. Well, I think things have already come through a long time ago, and who knows what has come through now. I think nuclear explosions have opened up possibly dimensions that things have maybe come through too. And I don't know for certain, but that's kind of my thoughts on a lot of that stuff. Is like, you're messing with the unknown there. So what is going on? And is someone actually controlling it, or do they just not know what the hell they're doing and it's just happening?
I think that's the scariest thing is, you know, the old, you know, there's known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. They're dealing with unknown unknowns, and they're supposedly at the top of their field. They're experts, and they're smashing these fucking particles together, literally not knowing they're doing it. So they find out what happens. But I know they're talking about creating mini black holes every time they do that. So something might be coming through, whether black holes or portals or not. They're doing something that's fucking with the nature of reality.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't really study CERN a lot, but I guess just to kind of segue into we talked in the beginning about this guy told me a lot about what chemtrails are doing. That kind of goes into a frequency that we're on under when they actually do spray. And I think you guys can probably feel it when they, on a spray day, you feel a heavy spray day, you feel a little bit different. I think we've been under some kind of a frequency with, you know, ionospheric heaters involved for so many years. And I think that's messing with, I don't know if it's messing with time, but it's definitely messing with our bodies and our natural rhythm and our circadian rhythm. I think we're way thrown off from that. But the one thing this guy did tell me, and it does actually really exist, is these nanotech fibers, that this transhumanism that they're spraying in as well. A lot of people call it Morgellons. It's in all of our bodies, apparently, according to the scientist Clifford Carncom, who's done like all these crazy experiments where he's figured out that everybody has this in their body, because we can't help but breathe this. But what it's doing is it's linking together in our bodies. And this insider told me it forms an antenna from the back of our heads down to our reproductive organs. And when harps and things like that are turned on, then we are conductive to that. And it, you know, what he showed me something on how to get this shit out of our bodies. And I've shared this a long time ago on some alternative shows. Basically, you take red wine that's turned bad, like a little bit, like, you know, you're not going to drink it anymore. You swish it. Yeah. You swish it in your mouth and you swish it really hard and you start spitting out all kinds of chunks of weird stuff. I know it sounds gross. Fibers, like you'll see little wires and stuff. I've done it myself many times. But when I've done that, and this is what the guy showed me, you'd be thinking clear. And sure enough, you like your third eye area just really opens up and you're thinking clear. It does involve a little more than that. You're supposed to buy this stuff called Hypericum. It's a tablet that comes in homeopathic remedy called Hypericum. You put that in your gums beforehand. It's supposed to open up the pores of your gums. And then once you've done that, you start swishing a bunch of wine and spitting it out and see what comes out. And a lot of people have tried it, and it does work. It sounds crazy, I know, but it's the only way we can really force a lot of this shit, and including these heavy metals, out of our body is by getting it out the pores of our gums, because it's kind of hard to do that with any other body part. So
weird. So
okay, yeah. We're definitely trying this.
So we're gonna need to see scientific articles about this beforehand, but I'm just kidding. But how do you know what wine is? Oh, okay.
No,
yeah.
It's been a peer review. Yeah.
Just kidding.
No, so how do you know when the wine is good or bad enough to do this? Like,
well, you know, when you open it up, and if you don't drink the whole bottle and it ferments a bit, you know, just like you're not going to want to taste that. It's like too harsh. So that's what you do with it. And another thing the guy said is, after about 5 swishes, put in some apple cider vinegar and do the same thing with that, spit it out, and then go back to the red wine again. So
that's what I was kind of wondering. Like, why, what's special about the red wine as opposed to like a vinegar?
Well, you know how they say like a glass of red wine is good before bed, and, or, you know, kind of it pulls.
Can confirm. I think
the tannins, I think it's called, and it pulls out toxins from, like, arteries, I believe. So I guess the same thing applies when you're swishing it around your mouth, apparently. That's what he told me. So like I said, I had to go back to this guy's house and take notes, you know. But basically he was telling me this is how they're going to roll out their plans with everything, with weather control. You see that with climate change. I mean, I can see lately they've just been bombing us. I just got back from Egypt, so I don't know if I didn't tell you guys that. I'm making a documentary and doing some stuff, and it's been investigating all these like old megalithic sites. But they were just spraying the hell out of those people over there. And then I get back here, and they're spraying the hell out of us. And I've noticed that my mangoes on my neighbor's tree are a lot smaller and more dwarfed. The hibiscus flowers are weird looking. And I think they're doing multiple programs, like this guy said, at the same time for all their agendas. I also think what they're spraying, because they found biological stuff that they're spraying, you know, stuff to keep people sick, you know. I left Egypt. This is kind of a funny story. So in order to get back in the United States, because I'm not, you know, jabbed, I had to PCR test, and we know those tests are not good, but I actually tested positive. And I'm like, oh, shit. So we went down to the front desk at the hotel, the airport hotel we were staying at in Cairo, and the front desk lady goes, you mean you are positive? And I said, yeah. Oh, so you need a doctor to make you negative? I'm like, yeah. So she had a friend come, no mask or anything. I don't think he was a doctor. He shoved like something not really in my nose at all. I'm just like, okay, you're good. And I was negative, so that's how I'm back here. Otherwise, I'd be there for 14 fucking days.
That doesn't show you what a fucking crock of shit this is.
It shows how united, though, the world is on COVID being kind of a bullshit thing. At least the testing. I'm not saying that there wasn't a bioweapon or people didn't get sick, whatever. They always do. But it shows that the news will say, this country is doing this and this country is doing that. No, fuck you. It's just your leaders who are doing that. And your people are pissed. And they're going to rise up and try to fuck you over, just like we're all doing. I love it.
Well said. Awesome. Yes, exactly. It's just them. You know, we're just, everybody just wants to live life and have a good life and live simple. It's them that are fucking with us.
Yeah. And like you were talking about earlier with how much to believe of anything that's going on. Literally, if you turn off your TV and your phone it sounds cliche as well, but if you go outside and then walk down to the store with your dog or walk around the park, none of this shit that's going on exists at all. And obviously people are dying and getting sick, whatever. But what I'm talking about is the mind state they're trying to put you in, they with a TM, of this, you're going to die immediately. There's going to be nuclear war with Russia. There's COVID. There's food shortages. There's all this shit. None of that is going on. I mean, at least where we are, I'm not saying it's not. I got to be careful. People fucking talking shit. But for the most part, if wherever you are, if you just go outside and hang out for a bit, it all disappears. It's pretty crazy. Like if you're not listening to the news or anything, it just goes away. What do you think about the food shortages though too? Because that is something that has been in at least our circles lately with like 16 or 17 different food production plants going up in flames or what. Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard about it, but I mean, I'm out in Hawaii, so we're fine at the moment. You know, I still go to the store. The only thing that's been a problem for me so far is just the fact that I haven't had the razors I normally use to shave my face have been gone for like 2 months, but yeah, I know, terrible. But anyway, so there is, that's, I mean, if any place, we're probably the most scary place to be because we rely on so much shipping, but food's still on the shelves over here. How about over there though? Is it, you seeing that? Are you seeing the effects of that really?
It's fine. I mean, I've gone, there's been shit out at the store a couple times, but it's nothing like,
it's not detrimental. We're adaptable.
It's
though.
Mostly so, the shit food that's out.
So if it was something that was out, we would just get something different. We would adapt and change. We're not dependent on one certain thing. That's what the media and commercials try to make you so dependent on one thing so that you love it. You need it. You have to have it. There are probably some people who are legitimately livid right now that they can't get their razor to shave their face and they're going to cut themselves every day because they're so pissed about it, but not on purpose, just with their other shitty razor they have to buy. But people just think they need this. I need to have ground beef this week. Like, nah, you don't. You could just eat vegetables for the whole week and you'll be completely fine. And you could even grow your own food. I mean, that being said, I do believe they are trying to spray and fuck with the weather so that we can't grow our own food, so that we do remain dependent on grocery stores that will ultimately run out of food because we'll be starving at some point way down the road, possibly. I'm not saying that will definitely happen. It's just something I could see happening. But if we just try to be independent and adaptable, things don't matter as much. We don't get as angry if there's something out on the shelves, you know?
No, I don't eat that much anyway, so it's not really a big deal. And if the kids are hungry, I'm like, you'll be fine. You'll live.
But we have bread and water.
Like you were saying earlier, it's a multiple vector attack. You've got weather, the food, the water, and not to mention the psychological thing. That's a huge part of it, is just the psychological part. But they are attacking different vectors here, and there's only so much you can do. Yeah, you can get a water filter for your house, or you can try to grow your own food. But I mean, eventually you're gonna have to go to the store for something, unless you're a wizard and can do all that yourself. Let me know, because I'll move in with you, because you can teach me stuff. But like, it is, you are going to have to participate in the system to an extent. So what's your plan of action? What are you doing over there to keep yourself kind of like at least in the direction of being self-sufficient or out of the system?
Well, I grow my own garden, although it's not been very successful. And I actually want to say blame that on the spring, because we've had all these cloudy days where the plants aren't getting as much photosynthesis. Can't say that word, photosynthesis. But I've made myself a little survival area out in the forest here, where I know that I have some banana trees and some taro growing and some things that I might be able to retreat to, and I know where there's some water. But I mean, I'm in Honolulu. It's a very densely populated city, so I'm kind of probably not in the best place to be, you know, talking like this, because shit goes down. I mean, I'm on an island with over a million people, but you know, that's my plan of action, unless I want to move away from here. And I've just held it out here. We went through hell with the COVID Nazis here. In fact, it's probably the worst state to be in, that's from what I've talked to, pretty much under this COVID. People believed it. Like, I still go into the stores and 90% of the people are still wearing their masks, and it's crazy. But anyway, besides that, I don't have like a huge plan of action. I know I can hear some people that I've friends with and listened to over the years screaming in my ear, why aren't you more prepared? But, you know, I do live everyday life, and I, like you said, when you go out and you don't watch any news or turn off your phone, life is still pretty normal. And it hasn't really changed for anyone hardly at all.
Yeah. And it is hard to get in that mindset even to realize that as you go through your day when I have to be painfully in reality every day because of my job. Like, I am very much grounded at work. Like, I'm like, yeah, this sucks. This is reality. This is why it's fun to do stuff like this to kind of break out of that. But
for sure,
it's hard to keep that mindset when you're so in the matrix every day and it's just right there in your face, especially you being in Honolulu. Doesn't it look like fucking San Francisco over there? Like, it doesn't even look like Hawaii.
Yeah, it looks like Miami or LA in some areas. You know, we have more high rises than most US cities here. It's pretty. I don't live in a high rise. I can never do that. But, you know,
Would it be to Kona?
What's that?
How far of a swim would it be to Kona if you had to?
I'll probably get eaten by a few sharks. But yeah, that would be way too far. Yeah, Maui would be my next island over, but it would be hard. But you know, this island still has a lot of forestry too, you know. And one thing about Honolulu different than LA or San Francisco or is the ocean and the mountains are only about 5 miles apart, so it's a very narrow long city but not very wide, so I can get to nature pretty quick, to the mountains this way or the ocean that way pretty quick.
Nice. No, have you ever heard about a tsunami or anything, or Fukushima or anything like that?
I'm not far away from the ocean enough that I don't think I'll be affected exactly where I'm living right now by tsunami. Excuse me. But I don't know. Are you guys in LA or where are you guys at?
No, we're way in Northern California.
Yeah, we're in the mountains.
In the valley.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah, so you guys are better off than me.
Yeah, we have a horseshoe of mountains around us, and it actually affects the weather. Like when storm fronts come through from the west, the mountains break up like most of them. That's why we hardly ever get any rain here, because it just all hits the mountains and then goes away. So if we were to get, the problem is we're basically at the bottom of the pool. So if our dam broke or if we got flooded, we'd be at the bottom. Like I'd have to, you know, hightail it up to the mountains, but we're like, I don't know, an hour from the mountains in all directions. So I'm not too worried. It's kind of a wet dream, you know, to be like, all right, it's that time. We're going to fucking hoof it into the mountains. I got my tent. Let's go do this.
And what's really amazing about where we live, which we've mentioned numerous times, is that our whole county and the county south of us was like, fuck this. We want our freedom. When all of the COVID lockdown stuff happened, we were like one of two counties in California that almost everybody rebelled against it. There were lots of people wearing their masks and lots of stores that complied, probably because they were afraid of going out of business or losing their jobs or whatever. But most people were like, I don't give a fuck. We're not wearing a mask. And they would just walk around not wearing masks, going into stores. And they would even walk past people who would offer us masks, like, oh, here's your mask. Joe would take it and put it in his pocket and say thank you and keep walking. And they never even
or they'd that. Ask if I wanted one. And I'm like, no, I'm good. Thank you. Cool. Ben wanted to jump in. He's laggy.
Yeah. Sorry for him over there in that corner.
Yeah. What did you got?
No, it's fine. I try to time it and it never works out. So I just decided tonight that I'll just start asking. When Joe, when you said that, you know, a huge part of it is psychological. I think all of it is psychological, because you can influence people's psychological health on what appears to be physical aspects. So whether it be the kind of chips that you want to go buy and they're out, now think about that on the grander scheme. Think about the kind of water. All of these little things by themselves wouldn't be that psychologically demanding. But when you put all of them together, it's a constant state of basically being ready in that fight or flight mode for the next big thing that's coming. And so as soon as that thing comes, the next thing you see is misdirection. Now you know this big thing is here, but it's not really getting talked about. You can't really get any kind of, instead, you know, it's all over the place, the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard thing. So it's kind of like every time something big happens that we should know about, they cover it up with something else, obviously. But on top of that, there's all of these other things, like you said, the water, and I don't remember everything else that you mentioned, but I think all of that is for the purpose of just slowly draining the psychological fortitude of the masses so that when bigger changes come, they either one, don't see it, or two, they don't have a will to resist it anymore. I think that that's my opinion on it, is that I think that most everything that's happened, whether physical or information wise, is all psychological for the purpose of keeping everybody under their thumb.
Yeah. Loomis, you got anything on that?
I think so too. I agree with that totally. I sort of lost my train of thought. Come back to me. Go ahead. I had something I was going to say and I just totally lost it.
I think I heard it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you if anyone's ever farted on the show. There.
Hang on.
I did have something that... I did have something to add to that, though. I meant to mention it the other day when we were talking about the ridiculousness of this Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial. Joe, you would have been proud because Johnny Depp said while he was in under oath, he used the term, and I quote, he was talking about Amber Heard taking a shit, a literal shit, on his side of the bed. And he used the term, somebody dropped a grumpy. And the first thing I thought of was you. I was like, oh my God, the fact that, and he did it like all like Jack Sparrow, like the way that he did it, kind of like, a grumpy.
Yes.
Pardon. And I was like, wow. Oh my God, he said grumpy. He said dropped a grumpy. Who the fuck? Oh, Joe says that.
That whole fucking trial, it can't be real. I don't believe it. They're all no actors. Like, I don't fucking believe a word of that trial. It came in just at a, you know, opportune time, like you were saying, a misdirection. Look at this over here. Look at Johnny Depp and his hilarious trial. He's in this fucking trial with his ex-wife, but he's being hilarious through the whole, fuck off. You're all acting.
Yeah, why do we need to know that? Why do we need to know all
right.
that?
It's personal information. It's none of our fucking business.
They're airing that, but they didn't air the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. And I heard somebody say, because one's criminal, one's civil, whatever. Still, why are they giving this so much airtime? It's their own personal... I would be pissed if somebody did that to me. Like, you're airing my personal shit on national TV and I'm famous? Go fuck yourself. Like, can I request you not to do that?
That argument doesn't work. The whole criminal versus civil thing, because they blasted all over the news live the what's his name, Kenosha Kid.
Yeah, I was gonna say
the kid that shot people at the BLM riots, the 17-year-old from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yes,
Kyle Rittenbaugh. So they aired that live. That's a criminal case that had to do with fucking three people dying. So why the hell did they not air the Ghislaine Maxwell case just because it was criminal? That's the dumbest argument I've heard for not airing a case.
Exactly. And like he said, OJ Simpson, I mean, that was on every TV station. Everybody was into that.
I watched that in class when I was in seventh or eighth grade or ninth grade or something.
Yeah.
School.
Yeah. I remember. You guys must be about my age then. Jeez. Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was in eighth grade and went, oh no, I was older than that. Okay, I'm old.
I think I was in ninth or 10th grade. I was something like that. I don't remember when the trial was, but I remember I was in high school. They made us watch it.
Yeah, the thing is, though, like that we're always being shown these things that we're supposed to see. Even George Floyd, if you want to talk about that, because that was something that was like, okay, I think it happens more than you think in these communities where a cop takes out an African American in a community, but they decided to make this big at that particular time. And it's like they almost shoved it in people's face. Oh, we can go out and protest with masks on and they're mostly peaceful, but we're breaking windows and destroying everything and people are getting hurt. But then people can't go out and protest the mandates.
No, and they were mostly peaceful protests. Remember that?
Yes, mostly peaceful.
The BLM ones, or
that's what they called them at the time.
They called them mostly peaceful.
Burning.
They destroyed.
There was a
business owner's properties. They destroyed Black lives in the Black Lives Matter protests.
They matter.
So fuck you.
Sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
Sorry, Ben.
They no, you're fine. They destroyed federal government buildings. And then on top of that, there was a screenshot, and then, of course, they immediately took it down so that you couldn't see the comparison. But long story short, they had posted the New York Times had posted an article that said thousands brave possible infection to join protest in BLM over the death of George Floyd. And then less than 3 hours later, they posted an article that said thousands are how did they word it? Something about thousands are basically breaking the mandate law by going to a Trump rally. It was one, and it was back to back articles. So if you went to their website, you could see the exact headline that they used, one portraying it's okay to not wear a mask or go into a public space to get infected for this, but it's not okay if you're this way and going for this reason. And so then they immediately took down one of the articles and rephrased it and then waited to post it later so it wouldn't be on the same feed. And I'm like, if that isn't just like, I know that that was a whoops for them, but if that isn't just indicative and in your face, the fact that it's like, how do you guys not see that that's what they do on every subject? It's every subject.
And it's because they take it down. Like you said, immediately they take this shit down. They're rewriting history in real time. There's no like having to go back and change the history books. It's a 24-hour news cycle and they can change it by typing a couple fucking keys into a keyboard. It's even if they make a mistake like that, it's easy enough to fix. And then it gets memory hold. And 5 months later, 2 weeks later, nobody fucking remembers that until you bring it back up. And then it's like, oh, that's old. We're on to Johnny Depp now. Figure fuck off.
I don't think that was a whoops for them personally. So I think that was only a whoops for them because of people like us who pay attention to those things and are in the middle. And we can see like, hey, I think the media is kind of wording things differently to sway people this way and wording things in this article differently to sway people the other way. And a couple people squawk about it. And then they're like, oops, we made a mistake. But if everyone just did what they said, it wouldn't be an oops. They'd be like, yep, nailed it. On to the next.
I have an easy, well, it's not actually as cheap as it used to be, but I have a solution for all these upper echelon people, we'll call them. And it's... just, I mean, it's not as cheap as it used to be, but I will donate my personal stash of that to get rid of all these people.
Amen.
Well, before we close here, Ben's got to go to bed pretty soon, but we got about 5 minutes. So did you hear anything about that fucking Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly shit about them drinking each other's blood? It's way too in almost mainstream. It might be mainstream. I don't watch mainstream, but it's all over the place on Instagram, all over the place everywhere. And they're, it's Megan Fox talking about how she, her and MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, which, oh, I actually have a sample of his rap. That was Machine Gun Kelly from his newest single, go buy it. But he, they're talking about how they drink each other's blood all the time and that he like is especially into it and is more, wants more than a couple drops. Like, it just seems like stupid, almost like a in your face shock jock PR thing. But you don't look like you've heard of it, but what do you think?
No,
of that?
I know. I think it, I don't know what it, the image it brought to mind was, what's that? I can't, was it Nas X, that rapper kid that was like,
Lil Nas X,
had drops of blood in his satanic shoes. Do you remember that? That's just what it brought to mind to me, but it's like this continued little thing. And when I watch it's dangerous to watch TV and movies, really, but if you know what's going on, it's not so bad. But when I'll watch like Netflix shows and I'll see little bits of Satanism in there, or they really like to throw it at you. They like to throw in something shocking. And of course they have their typical agendas that they put in. I did this on a, covered this on a show of, you know, neo-feminism, and they got to put in something gay, even though it doesn't have to be there. It's all got to be in there. And I noticed that recently. What did I see? Ozark. You guys seen that show?
Yeah.
Where they had that goat cookie jar and the ashes of the brother in the goat cookie jar. I hope I'm not spoiling it.
Right, yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And the lady, the mother, made some kind of a memorial to the brother in the yard and dug this quick hole and did this weird stuff. Well, if you pause it, it's some kind of symbolism. I have to go back and look at it, but it's definitely something. So they're always throwing this stuff in our face, and it's like they're just saying, "Yeah, we're doing this. If you guys care about it, you know." And most people don't even it doesn't even phase them. But people these days, they say have a attention span of 8 seconds, less than a goldfish. That's what they say. So, hey,
My kids for sure have a goldfish memory. What do you think about, real quick before we get out of here, what do you think about that, the subliminal stuff or the stuff they put out right for you to see like that? That they know people are gonna, like us, are gonna notice. Is it to make us look crazy and be like, look, it's everywhere? Or are they really just trying to subliminally do things to the people that don't notice? I always go back and forth on that. It's like the chess game, you know, where you're like, wait, do they know that we know about that and that's why they did it? Or are they that stupid they put it in there hoping we wouldn't see it? Like, which one is it?
I think it might be that they put it in there so you ingest it somewhere in your subconscious. That's what Edward Bernays talks about a lot in propaganda. And I think they, for the lamestream, regular old normies, they ingest that somewhere in their subconscious. Because as soon as you get into a screen, I think it takes, here's 8 seconds again for some reason, but 8 seconds to fit into light hypnosis, which is alpha state, right? So they know that they can get inside you when you're relaxed and sitting down and watching something. So that's what I think.
Checks out. We just talked about that with Jihan. I can't say his name right. Jihan. Anyway, yeah, he was talking about the alpha state and how basically as soon as you push play on the TV, you're like in a trance. And I would like to think we can be above that just because we know about that already and we're always pointing stuff out, but probably still has an effect on us.
It probably does a little bit, but we have a very open eye when we watch shows, and we watch like old sci-fi shit or like really weird, obscure shows. It's not this mainstream. We have seen Ozark, but we're not always watching the newest show that is pumped off by Netflix.
But the wokeism is so in your face, at least to us, that I don't even mention it most of the time. I'm just like, okay, they had to have a fucking gay cut. Of course they did. Like, they're into saving the earth. There's climate change. Fuck off. Like, seriously, it makes it unenjoyable at some point.
And those are the shows we don't
remember when that was like a novelty. Like, one of my favorite shows that I ended up watching 10 years after it came out was Will and Grace. I fucking loved it. It was an amazing show. It had great humor for being a sitcom. It was quirky. You got to learn the characters, learn their backstories, and it was a lot of fun. When they came out with the reboot, I didn't even make it through the first episode before I was like, nope, because the whole thing was just a political stance and an in-your-face, this is what we are, you need to like it, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, everybody loved Will and Grace, that's why they rebooted it. But they liked it because it was just a normal fucking portrayal of people. It wasn't this in-your-face, grandiose fucking, like Joe said, you know, the wokeism in it. Completely fried it, and I went, no, I can't, nope, I'll just stick to the original series because this is fucking retarded.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I know you got to go, but I was going to say how we're talking about, so everybody is often going for the next thing, like this Johnny Depp trial or whatever is the next hot topic. Well, that annoys me a lot about society because everybody goes for the newest thing. Whether it was back in the day when you went into a movie store and everybody went for the new releases and they left the classics alone, to even our podcast where people listen to the newest episode because it's the newest episode, it's good to get off that train and actually go and just explore things that are not necessarily new. And that's what the system wants us to do, is always be in for the next thing and the next thing, when there's so much we can explore that's, like for movies, for example, classics going way back if you can enjoy a movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I always feel like we usually talk about some current events and like this has no replayability, but then we hear from people like Corey in the chat who's gone through our whole entire catalog. I don't recommend, if you're a new listener, just don't skip the first, like, I don't know, three seasons. That's fine, whatever. All right, dude. Well, anybody who wants to find out where you are, let me put your banner back up there. Chantitdownradio.com. And does that have everything you do on there? Links to all your stuff?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I have a YouTube channel, Truthfill Trajectory. I'm on Instagram, sorta, and I don't get on there a lot. But then I'm on. I don't even know how to use Telegram that well. I should, but yeah, I'm on there too. So
you can come Thanks. Come jump in our Telegram, and anybody else listen, come jump in our Telegram. It's fun and it's free. I know y'all like free shit.
Yes.
All right, dude. Have a good night. Thanks.
Yeah,
for
you too, guys.
Ben.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing me on. And thanks, yeah, man. It's good to talk to you guys. Keep in touch. I'm around, and
we'll do.
Anytime you guys want to collab again, let's do it.
We'll do. All right, man. Okay. Thanks everybody in the chat. All the Barnacle free listeners on the audio. We love you too. Have a good night.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.